All right, it is 5:41 and we are getting going. Greg, can you take the roll? It's called meeting to order. That was what I was hoping to
There it
say.
is.
There it
Amy,
is.
are you here?
Yeah.
Evan.
Here.
Sarah.
Here.
And this is Greg. I'm here. We're four. Anne is not here. Kara's not here. And Daniel and Krishna are here. You have quorum.
Great. We have quorum. Does anyone want to reorder any of the action items for the meeting? Great. Board and community appreciations.
I want to appreciate Mr. Buck for responding to the most ridiculous and wild asks from me at all hours of the day that are random and huge. He does that all the time. With quick turn.
And accuracy, I assume, too.
Yeah.
Not just quick and wrong.
It's like some special skills there, like extremely necessary member of our team. We will send him disparate hard questions at like the same moment from Slack.
I will appreciate Miss Brittany for supporting the going out to the zoo with a couple of sunflower students.
We're there too, not just go to the zoo. Tell us.
Sorry, all right. Sorry, I apologize. They were there to research jaguar specifically, but also like build their skills around like organizing such a trip in the first place, because part of the elementary experience is realizing that there's more to learn than what your classroom and your classroom library or your school library can provide.
Cool. Did they see the jaguar?
They did.
Okay. It's always so
there's two.
Dicey when you go to a zoo. Like my kids are like, I want to go see the elephant. And I'm like, please be out. Like,
I believe they saw two and they learned a lot about them, including that they apparently live 12 to 14 years in the wild, and that the two of them were like a year old. So these are young pups.
Well, I want to appreciate Greg, who has just been very helpful for me in a few months of being underwater a bit. So thank you.
Welcome.
Plant sale.
Yeah.
Last weekend. It was well attended and had lots of activities for kids to do. All families, different plants.
I also really appreciate the beautification of the sunroom effort. And I love there's like a little Venmo right by the door of like pickup for after school. Like you can donate to plants to get plants for the sunroom right here. And I was like, this is the type of ease I need in my life. And I appreciate that.
Where's the sunroom?
The big room.
Big room is the sunroom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Done. No more appreciations. Board member comment. Anybody want to talk about something that's not on the agenda?
Oh, I have more appreciations.
This meeting can go as long as you want it to go, Daniel.
The LE and UE teams had their placement meetings this week. And I sat in for the first like 30 minutes, and it was the most caring, purposeful placement of students and the way teachers talked about students and their needs and like finding the right community for them. It was really special to sit through. So thank you to the LE and UE teams for facilitating that. Ms. Toby for facilitating that.
That's exciting.
This meeting.
Early May to mid-May. I think after your last week, we said May 3rd. But it might be a little bit later again.
Did you share that appreciation with those people too? You have not yet appreciated them directly. Got it. It's all good.
I'm sure they all listen to it during board meetings.
What else would they do on a Friday night?
But I'll go do that.
Okay. Are we done with appreciation? Anybody comment on a non-agenda item? Is anyone on Zoom?
Let me double check, but I don't. Yeah, no. No one is on Zoom.
So no presentations from the floor. Oh, community agreements discussion. I forgot about this. Have we talked about these ones?
Well, mistakes are for learning.
Yeah, exactly. Demonstrating that real time. I love to live the values.
I can't remember, Sarah, if we've been paying attention to updating the new ones each time. It's been a little while since we talked, so it probably doesn't matter which ones are up there.
Yep.
And always ready for discussion on any two of them.
Yeah. Well, we did talk about mistakes for learning, and we said that we always try to do our best and ensure we fix what we can and we need to, all of the Brown Act, which I think we've been doing. Reflecting what we want to be true in the classroom and mirroring that in our support of staff. And board being able to own mistakes and transparently name them when they happen. Feel like we're doing that? Anything we can do better?
Well, I mean, very small. I own that, like, I forgot about, you didn't know about the dinner sheet. I forgot about the dinner sheet, but I could have easily, when you messaged me about, you know, should I bring dinner? I could, if I had known, that was my mistake, because then we, you know, wouldn't have had that snafu. That's a small one.
Eat at home for the extra food. I think if I know in the next 10 minutes, I can offer it to the cafeteria staff.
Great. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Just mm-hmm. bring the pieces off.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
That's okay.
Yeah. Great. That's awesome. Cool.
Great.
I to that. And then also turn it into appreciation. Also, appreciating your input on academic literacy. The curiosity and the questions.
Okay, the next one was about being curious, vulnerable, and courageous without judgment. Modeling curiosity. The board is not here every day. Remembering when we hear things, we are hearing a small portion of them. Sounds like that's something that Amy's been modeling, academic. And being intentional, holding space for different perspectives and wanting to create the space for those and be open to them. How do we feel like we're doing on that? I will say, I feel like we've been, I don't know, and they're not here tonight, so maybe they would say differently, but I appreciate the way that we've been making space for new FAC leaders and trying to support their efforts and work with them as they're kind of revamping how that's all working.
I can also probably end up couching this as an appreciation, but I mean, this time of year, I'm so curious about the detailed budget moves that get done and the staffing comings and goings and the position comings and goings. And like, I could spend a lot of time texting Daniel and Krishna all day long. And I don't think I do. I appreciate it. Thank you for noticing. So I've been trying to like both be curious and, you know, not have judgment about how those things go, with also just letting processes play out and I have to admit it feels a little vulnerable, like personally. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, exactly how it's gonna go. I don't know how things are, what are the latest conversations with staff, what are the latest conversations, you know, with county and things like that. So just makes me curious, trying to stay patient and curious.
Yeah. Good job. All right. Head of score report?
Sure. April. Moving quick. Time's flying. Here. You guys can look at my semi base screen.
Yeah, I'll talk about this. We've already talked about it a little bit, but the plant sale was a success last weekend. Not just plant sale, but bake sale, trash pickup. It was an Earth Day event. So there's lots of different activities going on. And so thank you again to FAC and to all the families that came and participated. SBAC testing starts, well, there's practice testing that starts tomorrow, but really we get going next Monday, April 29th, and that'll run for 3 weeks, should be for the 17th. So not May 10th, but till May 17th. So it's very helpful. We are on time and in attendance for that testing, so that that makes makeup testing simpler. May 3rd, tentatively, but maybe a little bit later, the classroom placements for rising kindergartners and third graders will be shared with families. Our move-a-thon is coming May 18th. That's a Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a few weeks, I know Greg has been supporting the organizing committees on early Saturday morning, I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of facilitating that. I'm excited about all the different activities that are going to happen there. No school, May 27th, and May 31st is the last day of school for students.
Why is it so crazy?
But
insane.
Teachers come back a few more days the following week. For attendance, there's nothing new here. We're still averaging about 99% attendance for students. And just a reminder, a 1% increase in overall school attendance is resulting in about $40,000 to our budget. So coming to school is always important, especially during testing season.
Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about enrollment. Some of the same information that we've been putting in. Enrollment's open. Tell everybody. Say it again later. Enrollments are down across the city, in all charter schools. It's a little unclear what the data looks like in OUSD, but we know that OUSD recently had an enormous wait list for TK. And so if you have any ideas of how to let other people know who might be waiting for spots in OUSD, that we have open spots that we can give immediately, particularly in TK. And fourth grade of all weird places, I was going to be harder. TK though, who's harder to find fourth graders. Current accepted offers, open offers. So these numbers, this doesn't add up this way. This includes our most recent incentive return survey data that went out yesterday or the day before. So it's fresh. It uses the data we took earlier in the year for folks who haven't answered the new survey in combo with any changes in the new survey. So these numbers will continue to change a bit as we get a little more information, but it's currently estimated at about 372, which is below what we were budgeting currently, but that would be a manageable shift to make in our budgets as we're a little bit more clear and have more accurate intent to return data. We are still trickling in applications and sort of strategizing on how to get the word out better. We've been hearing weird word of mouth that people still think we're a private school, all sorts of funny things that we hear. So thinking about some alternative ways to market.
My circles are heavily Montessori circles, and I still run into people that are like, oh, wait, there's a free Montessori school in their building?
Yeah.
How do you not?
Yeah, so we're sort of wrapping our heads around that and thinking about other ways to get the word out, maybe doing some mass mailings and things, investing in different ways. Because the social media campaigns that we've invested in last year around this time and through, that was a year-long thing, so up to this point, just hasn't really produced a lot of real results. Yeah. We don't think that's not how people are finding us. So, okay, a little up to the staffing bits. I know you want to ask all the staffing questions, Greg. So big thing, reasonable assurances or notices of postponement of reasonable assurance. In theory, we also at this time might have non-renewed contract, but currently we issued either reasonable assurances or postponements of reasonable assurance on Friday to all staff. There was messaging that went out in advance of that, so staff knew that those were coming. They knew that they would get one or the other, and the reasons why they might get a postponement as opposed to a reasonable assurance. The only staff that hasn't received that is our aftercare staff. Miss Melody is working with them independently this time, but they'll be receiving similar messaging in the coming weeks. Staff received postponements of reasonable assurance for three different reasons. They're either on an active performance improvement plan, they have 15 or more absences already as or prorated by start date. So like if they started in January and have eight, that would qualify as well. Or they've received two or more written warnings in the last 24 months. Those are the only reasons why people receive postponements. Not going to give you numbers on those things, but we've had meetings with almost everybody who's gotten a postponement to just talk about the clarity of what they need to do between now and the end of the year to receive a reasonable assurance if they are interested in continuing working, in which case, like, we're interested in having them continue. Do want to say two lead teachers have submitted formal resignations. One support teacher has actually done that too, and that got hitched on this, but one support teacher has given a formal resignation for next year saying that they're not going to be returning, and so we'll have those classroom teams, and we'll work with those teams to do communication plans to students and parents first before those are announced to community. And typically we don't necessarily announce those community-wide. They go to the families they're impacted. Anything else? Charter renewal? You're doing this one.
Charter renewal.
Oh, great.
Okay, so the CBA announced, released the charter renewal tracks that are going to be used for the renewal of schools next year. There are three possible tracks that you can be in, and those tracks are determined by dashboard, the California dashboard data, and specifically in comparison to California state averages. So there's three tracks that you can be in. The high track, where you're the authorizer is supposed to shall not deny it unless there's specific conditions that they have to chance to fix. But if you're in the high track, the renewal is expected to be 5 to 7 years. There's a middle track, which is a presumptive renewal of 5 years. And there's a low track, which is a presumptive non-renewal with the allowance for a 2-year term if you meet specific criteria, right? And like have a plan for how you're going to fix that data. So we are currently placed in the low track by the CDE. We believe that that's not correct based off of our data, and are working with the CDE and the county. We're meeting with the county next week to talk about options for reviewing our data and getting that fixed, but at the same time, looking at our data and saying, here's where all our growth needs to be, and making plans around how to support a lot of those data points. And that's something that we talked about a lot at our academic oversight committee. So what can families do to help with renewal? A big part of this, coming to school, right? That supports not just our chronic absenteeism, which is actually down from last year, this year. but also being at school means you're here for more lessons, for more of the work, and therefore theoretically will do better on your tests. Also talking to students about the importance of those tests, that's happening in the classrooms also, but also the way that we run class, it's not super test taking heavy, right? So they're not necessarily used to a regular rhythm of taking tests in this way. So messaging around that is helpful. And then for 4th through 8th grade families, all students have access to IXL, which is an online learning program, through their Clever logins, which they have, every student has. And really that's a good platform for at least getting used to that, the type of questions that you see on the state test. So being able to kind of connect a lot of their everyday in classroom learning with materials to more test-like questions. And also getting our enrollment up by telling families, especially 4-year-olds, we're looking for 4-year-olds
Yeah, remind those parents of four-year-olds that who love their current preschool that they will not have their pick of kindergarten next year. There will be no spots at most of the schools they want to apply to because everybody's filling their TK. And the kids who return in TK means I have fewer and fewer spots in kindergarten now for every year. And so there's a lot of folks, especially parents of kids who are currently three, you know, like are just, they're still three right now, who don't realize that if they don't apply for TK, because their kid's going to turn three by June, so like in May, late May, four, they're going to turn four in May. Like those families will be at a huge disadvantage if they keep their kids out of TK next year in any enrollment at any school, the following public school the following year. So that's like one thing we have also like been trying to figure out how to get that word out, because it's been an issue here of having few like huge numbers of wait lists on the kindergarten list last year, just even when we didn't expand all the way, and now this is near a full expansion of TK, and so it's going to definitely make holding your kid out of the public school program longer a little bit like harder. It'll make your choices more narrow.
Are you guys talking to neighboring daycares?
Well, it's hard because we're taking their business. And so neighboring daycares are in a tough position right now where they're losing kids and money because, so it's actually a really complicated conversation because those home care places and even private preschools, they're not being subsidized extra. They have to change their licensing if they want to go younger or if they want to go older. Both of those things are true, but kids who are exiting to enter public school, they're losing clients over it, right? And losing money directly. So it's kind of put, it's a tough situation, and you know, we can't really advertise at local preschools for that. We can ask, we talk to people when it's appropriate and things, but I also want to be respectful of people's businesses and not be there trying to like put them out of business. Yeah.
Different framing, but yeah.
And
I will say, like, I have a preschool age kid and parents have no, like, TK is
no idea.
So confusing. Mm-hmm. It's confusing to me, and I have worked in education for a long time with the TK at my school, and it's always been so weird.
If they turn four by June 1st, they should be enrolling.
That's what
know?
I keep telling people, but like, I can't tell you how many like playgrounds where like people have this is not on their radar.
Yeah, it's not on their radar. Not on like, their radar. Because they're really little right now. Those kids are three right now.
I know.
So they're like
public
school.
I have a 3-year old, and I'm like, he's not turning four, but I'm like, I look at him, I'm like, God. Being tedious, like you're a baby, it's hard to wrap your head around. I do think about the word of mouth,
and the information is not easy to find.
No,
nobody's like advertised, it's not on the news, and like it's not in the way, like it's not getting out to the right people.
And even if they understand it, I think the kind of strategy of like I need to do this because it impacts kindergarten is like. Not even part of the equation.
Right. And it's more like, oh, my kid's so little, they're not quite ready. They love their situation right now. We don't want that transition. And we thought we were paying another year anyway. We'll keep paying. And like, or like we have a great, you know.
Yeah, but also not knowing pieces. Like when we think about our mailers, it's like, what are the highlights? It's
that's
like,
what I was thinking.
If you turn four before this date.
Yeah. And we should be like, I don't know how you say, you know, like you should enroll this year. Or kindergarten will be hard.
Say, like, this will allow you to.
Yeah, secure spot, school of your choice. Yeah.
I am imagining a flyer.
Yeah, like we do mailers
that says this, and it's obviously about Urban Montessori, but it's also just about like whatever option you're looking for, and like I'm imagining the ones you know that are cut at the bottom, and you take a little thing with you that might have like a tiny QR code on each one or something that takes you to the enrollment page, and I'm thinking like in the libraries. In the libraries and the rec centers, I think they have like, you know, community boards, and we might be able to like.
We do that. We're actually looking into mailing things to everybody's houses and certain zip codes and things like that. And like, I think thinking about what we having QR code on that and like having, thinking about what info is most important to be front and center on those, like, and or how to like target whose houses we mail them to. But that's harder. I think you have to do it by zip codes. Like,
I can't remember where I saw this. I had, this is just a take it or leave it, but I wondered, you know, we've got the sign out front. I don't, maybe another sign on the fence or something. And it's just like enroll with a big QR code, like a gigantic QR code. Just as people are driving by, just to make it soup so fast.
Step out of my car.
Yeah.
In my car, I'm thinking.
Well, that might, that's not a terrible idea. And like, you know, but, and I know that's why people do the billboards and the bus ads, and we could do an updated bus ad that's like really targeted to the TK enrollment and just do the back of the bus again, you know. That might not be a bad idea. It's just hard to figure out what works. We're finding the social media campaign. I feel like it's like, you can do a social media campaign that works, but who we contracted with was primarily Facebook. And I'm like, you know, the people with 3-year-olds aren't on Facebook. I'm sorry. They're like 27 or 30 and they're not on Facebook. It's like, they're like, you know,
you need TikToks. Yeah,
they need to be on TikTok.
Iris and Rosie need to be on TikTok. And like,
they've got a lot on their plates and that's not in their job description. No, I know. Right. Yeah. So we have to find, we would pay. I was like, we need like a more grassroots marketing human, like a person who's into it, you know, that we could pay as opposed to like an org that's in the Midwest that has no idea what I'm talking about. And it's doing a social media campaign. Yeah.
So it seems like we're talking about, you know, in this broad thing of social media, having someone access something that is clearly laid out. Yeah. Say, okay, if my kid is born here and they turn the kid on here, they can do this.
Yeah.
Because having conversations even with my friends where we had 7 of our kids born mm-hmm. all at the same time, mm-hmm. but they all fell within brackets because mm-hmm. they were not eligible to enroll in TK because one was older
mm-hmm.
by half a month.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and all
it,
this.
It stuff. Is yeah. all different. Yeah.
It's all different. So not understanding that is the big problem because you go, well,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a problem. I worry about those families. Like, sure, we want people to come here. We want them to come here. But like, I'm worried about all those families who are going to like, it doesn't matter where they want to go next year. It won't matter where they want to go. They're going to have a hard time getting in to any school that they want to go to. And I mean, like your local district does have to offer you a spot. They'll get a spot somewhere for kindergarten. But like, you know, if anybody with a lottery, it's going to be hard. And any of the choice schools are going to, you know, it's going to be challenging. So that's a lot on that, but that's so thoughts on it. You know, we can send us emails if you like things pop up, ideas pop up, or if you know somebody who does marketing. Like, I don't really want to hire an org again because it didn't really pan out and feel supportive. But I would be interested in talking to somebody who does marketing who wants to make some money and do like a side campaign for us. And we'll do like TikTok and talk and Instagram.
Have parents of 4-year-olds here.
We have parents of 4-year-olds here. So maybe. Yeah.
I had a question about the staffing real quick.
Sure.
The you mentioned the teachers and you'll work with them and communicating to their family, to the classroom communities. You obviously, you know, the information about who those people are. Does the rest of the staff know who those people are?
No. Nope.
How and when will the staff learn?
We're usually pretty fast in our turnaround because you can't tell staff without parents then knowing. So we'll usually tell staff and then tell parents like 5 minutes later, and then kids learn the next day in class. It's a
and does
fast turnaround.
Does staff yet know? I mean, obviously anyone can listen in on these recordings and know about the 2 leads and the 1 support, but like, do they even know generic, like anonymously about the numbers yet?
No, probably okay. not. Though, I mean, some of the staff, like some staff do know about each other, you know,
yeah.
like.
Oh, sure. That's usually, there. But, yeah.
I think there's communication in those teams, like those teams of staff know, like, so if one person in a team is, has submitted resignation, their team member knows.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like. And that's the most important person that needs to know. And those folks are all in the loop. And it's just we've just learned that it has to be done really thoughtfully. And like, well, I would say those numbers to staff. And it's like, maybe we'll do that in our comms tomorrow. But we're going to be careful about that.
Another thing to add to the recent updates, next Wednesday, we're having a information session for cohort 2 of our training.
Oh.
So we're kind of starting a second cohort this summer. And I know that there's several interested staff and and get to talking about that next Wednesday.
They'll need a cool name.
No, I bet it's talking about it.
Can we talk more about the charter renewal?
Yeah.
Well, I don't question more about it, but I am not remembering. Once upon a time, I knew what are the qualifiers on the dashboard that are specifically putting us into the low category? It's like a combination of yellow.
You have to be, it's either matching or being below the state on all the subgroups is the criteria to be in low. So you can be the same as the state in all subgroups. If you don't beat them on any subgroup, then you're automatically in the low.
The state.
So it's everything's compared to, this is the California state is who assigned the tiers, right?
Yep.
And so they do it by color. So it's not actually by the growth metric. And this is wherein the problem lies for us. We have growth metrics that beat them by a lot, mm-hmm. but there's a loophole in the way they collect the data that they won't assign us a color in that one box, which is our ELPI, which is English language progress indicator, right?
Yeah.
There's no color, and it's because of COVID. It's a long story that I don't need to, I think we probably shouldn't do right here, but essentially you have to have these like two-year bands. And so because we were only able to we only have 15 kids that had a repeat test in the COVID year to the year after, even though we actually have test scores for 40 plus kids all of those years, we're quite confused about what's going on. We don't get a color, but we beat the metric of the state by a significant margin. Mm-hmm. And it even says it on the dashboard. You can click on the dashboard and it says our percentage is 40 points above the state, but they don't count that because we didn't get a color. Because they're saying it's that one moment was one year that's not this year and it's not last year was statistically too small of a sample group.
But we think we have the scores of a larger sample in there. So
the ask is for them to look at the actual numbers rather than the color. That's the ask that's being made.
Okay.
That we're working with our lawyers to make that directly to the state. The state is unlikely to give us a color and to make a change to it. That being said, the county might have some little room to apply us in a different group and look at the numbers, right? We're making the ask, we're gonna make the ask everywhere. And the actual numbers that are outstrip the state by a bunch, and that is what it says in that you need to beat the state. But they won't look at the numbers if you don't have a color.
So just so I'm understanding, it is the, if you're looking at the subgroups in each bucket.
It's subgroups in each bucket. And those change every year too, but.
Those subgroups have to be above where those subgroups are.
Each one of them has to be above the state. Anyone in math, English, ELPI, the academics.
For any subgroup that for the state is yellow or below,
they actually disregard all subgroups that are above yellow. That's true. It's only subgroups of so that's why it's a different group of subgroups every year that they're looking at, because they throw out any data that's above yellow.
So you take an indicator. Let me talk it through and see if I'm understanding you.
It's been like 3 weeks.
You take an indicator. You understand at the state for the indicator, who are the subgroups below yellow? Right. And then you say, okay, of those subgroups, do you have those subgroups in your school for that indicator? And did they perform below the state? So if you, or at the state,
you have to have one subgroup above in order to be
one of the subgroups that the state has identified for that category. Yeah.
In any of the categories.
But if you don't even have an indicator color for English learner because of a test sample
from
spring of 21, that's it right there, no matter what else across the other indicators.
That's the one we beat them in. We are at.
No, but is that the trigger for us? Is that it alone? Or even if that one was accurate, say, in our understanding, might we still be in this track for other indicators, or is that the?
You only have to be one.
That's the one.
That's the one.
That's yeah, that's the trigger.
That's the trigger. That's that we do.
Yeah.
We beat them in that, so if we can get them right. to examine that data, that they're in the middle track.
Is there a live conversation at ACOE already
yeah.
about this?
Oh, yeah. Next week, yeah.
And just Tuesday. And we tested every kid we could at every year. So we all like
COVID year, we tested 30 or something, like in like 28 or something, right? And it was like only 15 of those kids have scores 2 years in a row. Though we have 30 kids that have it from 2019.
I'm just wondering, did we test as many kids as we could every year? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no matter how we just always tested the kids we had.
Yeah. Though there was no, just keep in mind, there was no state testing that yeah. year at all for anybody.
Yeah.
I think LPAC was required for my memory. And we definitely attempted to test everybody, but not everybody was coming to school in person. The kids right. who were here in person were here on half days.
Yeah.
And I think we tested into June after school was out and like invited. I remember us like inviting kids in for testing and we got as many as we could. And we have more scores listed than 15. It's just tracking across years.
Yep.
Yeah. So we, in a funny way, I think we should table this because we're talking to the county next week. It's just an ongoing conversation. And from my stance, they might not, there's a lot of reasons to believe that they won't, that the CDE won't reevaluate because it's precedent, they won't want to open. And that the county will say, they tell us we have to evaluate here, so we have to evaluate here. That's yes. not unlikely. I think there's a chance they would evaluate us in middle, but I think even if that's where it is, that we're at low track, that the data, it's a supportive data story in like getting county staff and the trustees to be like, yeah, based on that, we really can't in good conscience not give you two more years to show us better. There's the other chances is that we can wait to go up for renewal until the next dashboard is public. So we might decide to do that. But that's decisions to be made after we have our embargoed data in late June.
There's all that stuff.
Yeah.
And like we expect to be doing better than yeah. state averages in a lot of these other things. So there's that's still the planning going on. Mm-hmm. They have all those plans to like be able to show.
LCAP time. Let's talk about LCAP real quick. Got my standard LCAP slides here. LCAP is Local Control Accountability Plan. It's a compliance document that all school districts, local education agencies, complete yearly to allocate specific funds that are intended for unduplicated students. So that's English language learners, socioeconomically disadvantaged students, homeless foster youth. And so it is a small portion of our full budget. And this year, I think it's $292,000 and some change that is allocated for us to make goals around how we're going to support these students. So they do the LCAP in 3-year cycles. And we're starting a fresh cycle, which means we're coming up with new goals and rethinking how we're going to use those funds to support kids and like what goals we're seeking to meet. So we have a draft that since the last meeting, the draft is much more actual, like a real draft that prior, like last month, there was very little in there. We have one goal currently, which you can take a look at, and there's measuring and reporting metrics for that goal and 11 actions that already total over the amount of like $308,000. It is still, I think, a very much a working document, and like we want to use these meetings as a space to hear feedback and take questions on specific actions, like how we're measuring, and take any input. We asked for spoke to SLT. And so they've reviewed, our school leadership team has reviewed the plan and is providing feedback on that and talking about that in their space. And so we can also take it and share it with the staff. We'll bring it to all these meetings. I think that's about it. Any questions?
Part of SLT's help to other people.
More feedback.
Just real quick, some update. I put it through another couple draft ideas onto the document. Mm-hmm. I tried to create like the language for each of the reporting years, like how we would report for all the on the reporting columns across the indicators. And then also take a look at how you want to frame, if you want to frame the English learner indicator a little differently, given our current baseline. So I kind of offered you something there that you'll see, but I don't know if it will work or not.
Okay. All right. I had one other thing on there, which was talking about committee reports at board meetings. This is kind of an executive committee thing, but I put it on my report because it wasn't in, because it keeps getting lost in conversation. And I keep thinking about it every time I'm looking at the board agendas. So just a little like preface. Earlier this year, I didn't go back to look at our meetings to say when, but I want to say like September, like a lot earlier, finance committee decided to streamline in an effort to streamline board meetings, to actually not report at board meetings and to put all their materials from finance into the consent report for everybody to view, with the intent that it could be like if we have questions, we pull it. Obviously, when there's approval things like the budget, those are going to be agendized, like those items. And we're going to agendize like if there's big conversations that need to be shared that are related to finance. And at that time, the conversation, I thought, was more global. Yeah. And it was a conversation that like executive committee and academic were talking about doing something similar, which is like, how do we ensure that we're like using our meetings in the way that is about governance as opposed to repeating the things that happened at the last meeting. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but like the idea was we used to have our meetings have gotten much shorter and much more streamlined, but the idea I think was brought by Greg, and like how do we make sure that like the conversation time that we spend is really spent on the things that are most important. And so I just wanted to kind of bring that back up, because every time I'm looking at the agenda and like when I'm about to post it, I'm like, did we talk about like committees putting their stuff in the
front? We're going to start with
finance. Okay.
I think my memory of the conversation was actually like, how do we get these board meetings kind of more focused on academics? And so of like, maybe is it like academic committee? There is no academic committee and we just do academic committee stuff in this board meeting. I think executive, I have no problem just attaching some notes from executive committee or just like pulling out, you know. And then I mean, there are sometimes things that like maybe we need to talk about from exec committee.
Yeah, I think it's like
I'm down
to have things agendized. I just feel like if we don't have even just having like a protocol of what materials are put in here, because usually the only things are finance has a bunch of materials in there. And sometimes academic has like the slides from their committee meeting, but sometimes they don't. And a lot of it is just in the minutes and the reporting. And like, so even just thinking about like, what's the documentation? And we have the head of schools report. And like, ideally, this is like, I cannot talk. I put the head of schools report in here 5 minutes before the meeting started, right? Like we have a tendency to finalize those on the day of. But even thinking forward on like, what are the things that should be in a certain number of days in advance so that we can decide what we need to talk about, right? And just agendize the 1-2 point and have documents in there. I would argue FAC is a funny one because it's like, we don't get to hear from you and I think we would like to hear. I kind of like to hear the FAC report, but we're at all the other meetings. I don't know.
It sounds like maybe executive and governance. I mean, we have minutes, so like people can just read those committee minutes. I also think like executive and governance committee, I'm guessing tonight will take 3 to 5 minutes. Like it will be brief. The committees, while they're often all on there, they're all pretty brief. Finance had been the longer one because we did rehash a lot of the material that was shared at the committee level. I am all for the academic committee. Not necessarily, I don't know if you want to dissolve it technically, but like But bringing its work, like having its work come to the board, that sounds fabulous. I have a lot of, if we want to move in that direction, I have a lot of ideas about that, but I'll just put a pin in that for now.
I wanted to bring it up at an after meeting again, because I feel like I'm having trouble remembering, like, to talk about it in committee spaces, and it keeps, like, being this funny thing that I notice when I'm posting agendas. And I think it's, I think if, you know, we might want more of our board members present before.
It definitely could be, you know, I guess.
Well, I'll say, as chair of the exec and governance committee, I motion that we do that. I don't think we need to have a vote on it, but.
Right, I think that can just be decided with them.
I mean, that's meeting, what we right? do. Isn't there still a spot? Is there not still a spot for finance?
No, we don't agendize it at all.
At all, okay.
That's the difference. And that's not necessarily how we want to move forward, right? It's like, you keep it agendized.
Just to remind people.
As a you can do it like yeah. that as a reminder, yeah. just that, like, these things are available to pull and they're in the...
Yeah,
we're gonna actively just be like, these are the bullets. If you're gonna look at one doc, look at this one. Well, public, I'm not sure.
When it comes to executive and governance, one of the things that I have found useful over the years is having a standing item where we have the opportunity to vote on things like officer roles and committee roles and stuff like that. So, and we often table that portion when we don't need it, but it's there. I like having, for what it's worth, like the fact that we link some, it doesn't have to be on that committee item though, like we link the reminders around Form 700 and the Brown Act and conflict of interest training, like, but I can find a different home on the document where those links could live. So that's certainly possible.
Yeah, it's more about like how we enact it too, right? Like not just what's agendized. Just wanting to revive that conversation. And maybe it is a conversation for to have in the actual committees, which is, I think, what we left with last time. But then I just hadn't heard that from committees about other finance.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think giving FAC the option, I think, of submitting a written report ahead of time for the consent report is certainly an option. Which would recognize that, like, if the board is voting for it, where we've absorbed it and accepted it, you know, whatever the report is.
I mean, I think it's nice we are not necessarily in attendance at FEC meetings. Yeah. Sometimes that might be the only way that we're hearing about the meeting, so it's nice. I do also think, though, that sometimes... it could be nice for the FAC, like it's not always going to be Evan or Ann who has all the info, and it's like Marcella or somebody yeah. else on the FAC, like they could be writing up a little thing to pop up. Who's and if we have a, I don't know who's secretary, Sarah,
right? Sarah.
I'm not saying don't come to the I'm certainly not saying don't come to have FAC come. I'm just saying as another option, if they ever choose, if they're like, we can't come, but we want. We want the board to know about these things.
The person who's required to report, who's currently Evan or Ann, wasn't at the meetings and wasn't part of the conversation that's being reported. Like, it's just a nice trick for you to be like, hey, the report's in there. I skimmed over it. Here were the highlights. Take a look at it. Move forward, you know, or whatever.
I guess, what decision do we want to make today?
None. I just wanted to bring it up. It's not on for a vote. It's on my report.
And I don't think it kind of really need to do a vote.
I guess I don't know if there are like action items that we think, I mean, I don't know that we need to.
What do you think?
We just said we were going to do it for finance and we did it. So.
Well, and finance, finance comes with a few key things. Like we will have a finance conversation in May around, like, we'll have a public hearing around the LCAP and like a sunsetting or a sun shining of, you know, the draft budget, and again at the full board, and then a discussion and a vote of those items in June. There's also like the mid-year LCAP update too. So there's a few kind of natural points when the finance stuff can kind of come into the full board anyway. Yeah, I mean, around the academic work, I'll just say that, like, I think my thought is we should understand what academic data that we want the whole board to be looking at. Like right now, I think that my understanding, I've not been to the committee meetings, but that the committee is looking at a lot of data, just like the admin does. right? But maybe it, not at all the levels admin looks at, but it's a lot of data. And so having a calendar would be like the big, big thing aligned with the natural, not an artificial calendar, like a naturally aligned calendar that lags all the, you know, collection of all the data, that when are the natural points to expect to have data, and then to bring that data to the board and understand, okay, why are we looking at this data now? What is this helping us understand? But knowing all that, then not only do you have the question for me is there still is it still useful, particularly for admin or for board members on the academic committee, to practice monitoring that data at a committee level prior to the board, to the full board conversation? Even if you're just kind of going over it more than, if there's anything worth going over more than once, it's the academic data is what I would say.
I think it's just something for the academic
conversation. Yeah. But it's also depends on what people aren't on the academic.
Well, I would say I would like there to still be conversation in the whole board. Time, space for conversation in the whole board around academic.
Sometimes data. It happens in the head of school report. Yeah. Though too. So that's the thing. Like, it's about talking about how, what's the format for sharing? Because I know there's been moments where like Kara would be like, yeah, you just shared everything already, talked about it in the head of school's report, because there's so much overlap in that at times, especially.
Today would be an example of that, because the IXL share out, the SBAC testing, went like that was covered, that would essentially be part of our show.
Right. So either that's like a shift to the head of school report. And I think it's funny because that's like, because we feel we own so strongly, it's like always something to put in there. We either shift to pull that out to have it in a different space and presented more independently from the other things, or it can be a shift into the head of school's report. Or, you know, that's what you might want to talk about. Yeah, I'm making this conversation go very long after all of our things we said about.
Well, I think it comes back to the purpose of the board, right? Yeah. And I think we've talked about, and we talked about at the start of the year, and I fully own not helping carry this thread through, especially in these last few months. But like, if you know, if the purpose of the board is to like help focus the school around the set of priorities that are about student growth and progress, then I think we can do a better job spending our board time on that. And I'm super open to like the academic committee deciding we do want to meet before and like talk about what will be most useful to do that at the board meeting and how we want to use that space or not. I think that to me is what I would love, that feels like a productive shift from like the executive governance side to go down to just a notes summary and a couple standing items. But that's where it comes back to for me. And I think because our incoming middle school.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'd be nice to clarify which parts of the data board wants to see.
Yeah.
Right. And then if we did create a schedule and then we did meet before those kind of milestones to then talk about what does come to the board. I think that I like that idea most. Because the hope is that there's some sort of, I don't know if support's the right word, but support or discussion around movement that happens.
The idea is that we've got the academic outcome goals that we're aiming for.
Yeah.
Then we figure out how we're going to measure progress against those goals. And then you monitor progress, but not gotcha monitoring. It's like according to a calendar that's like is known well in advance because it makes sense for when the data is going to be available. And that the board actually votes to accept those reports. And they do it for if they can answer yes to, basically if they say, we are hitting our goal. Like if the data shows we have actually that our vision matches the current reality, boom, let's accept the report. That's actually going to be really hard to do because it's hard to actually hit the goal of, you know, certainly in the beginning part. So the next reason a board might accept a report is if there's been making adequate progress towards the goal. Like we're on track. We're not at the goal yet, but like the indicator and the data shows we're getting there. And the third reason would be that we would accept a report would be we're not at the goal, we're not making adequate progress, but the head of school has convinced us they've got a plan. They understand what's not working, what they're going to try next, what still needs more time, what's going to change. And we are convinced that like the head of school has what they need to make the shifts that they believe are the right things. And then we can still accept the report.
What happens?
If you don't accept the report, you go, you basically, you're saying to the superintendent or the head of school, you're saying, you're not doing your job. But your job in that moment isn't that the scores should have just been higher, right? It's like, we're not there. Yeah, we need a more plan and help us connect the dots. That's what we're saying. And so, bring it back to us in a week or call a special meeting. And we're not saying it's over forever. We're just saying it's our way of saying this is not yet done.
So I think that's something that we can move towards. I think our MVP of that is like looking at the... deciding what the data is on the data calendar that we want to bring to the board and making space in the meeting to have more of a robust discussion around the academic content and executive governance instead.
We will, we'll shrink it. I feel fine. I'll help shrink executive governance moving forward on the draft agendas, and then you can take it further and finalize.
Yeah.
On the, I'd offer that on the academic-y conversation, that it be its own thing. It's not an academic committee report, and it's not in the head of schools report. It's a academic, it's a progress monitoring item. It's its own item. But whatever, we can make its own. In lieu of an academic committee report, but yeah.
Yes, I'm just thinking about the steps.
Yeah.
And if we want to have it as a separate item, like who owns that item, mm-hmm. and what is the expectation of what is done for that item, I think we can come back to that.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's what I
would. Can I put that item on a board agenda, like to discuss?
Yeah, what we would want that to look like, maybe
like a goal, monitoring
for next year's.
Okay, meeting. And then. The academic committee, or maybe just a couple of you, will connect about a calendar. And you could start with what are all the things that we already monitor and when are they naturally, coming up? That's certainly a way to start. I would push to go to the things you actually really care about.
Sure. Yeah.
And what you want to monitor. And even if we don't have the data or the measurement yet to do it, I'd rather monitor what we most care about than monitor what we just can have the data around. If that makes sense.
Okay. I think that makes more sense. The things that I'm thinking about in this discussion are as a Montessori school. Like we're absolutely keeping track of things like dashboard data. And like, that's like the easiest thing for something like a board to understand, right? And
California dashboard data, is that what you mean? Yes.
And understand and monitor, right? And like, when you look at that, look at our scores, you're not seeing as much growth over the years, but like being here for the past 5 years, I know that like sitting in the classrooms, it's a big difference of what's happening in the classrooms, in terms of like the Montessori that's happening, in terms of the engagement we're seeing for students, in terms of like the work that we're seeing from students. So like, just kind of like in this process, thinking about what are the things that when you monitor, you understand versus the things you monitor that you don't understand.
Part of this is you teaching the board and the community through, what should we be paying attention to and care about?
I mean, I would also because of the way that the dashboard gets updated, annually, it's like not, I honestly rarely want to talk about our dashboard. Like I asked about it tonight because I was like, I don't understand this, but I think it's more like, you know, the goal of like 60% of students are meeting
the transition checklist.
Transition test checklist in mathematics. Like that goal is the one, like those are the type of goals that I think that I know you all are actually care about monitoring, and it's opportunity to like discuss that. Which, like, you know, our the progress there, right, is the leading indicator for what we would expect to see on the dashboard, right? And it's actually what we care about. So trying to thinking about it in that way as opposed to like the dashboard. I mean, yeah.
When
time check us.
You want to time check us. Okay.
I know I started this.
Well, it sounds so we have a couple next steps.
Yeah.
I think I'll capture three next steps, the executive on the agenda, academic and calendaring, and next time more time specific to discussing progress monitoring.
Yes.
Okay. How we'll do it. Great.
Sorry, one amendment. I think it's like how and what.
How and what?
Yeah.
You bring the what or bring the start of a what?
Yeah.
What we might monitor.
All right,
back. Is there a fact report?
Moving on. We're getting ready for that.
Nice.
We're meeting actively, trying to get all the moving parts done for that. We will be meeting next Saturday morning, regardless of who's there. To try to keep it moving. Yeah.
Actually, and Evan, thank you for reminding me. I cannot attend this Saturday morning. Whoever's there can.
It will happen still.
Great.
Yes.
In that meeting, if they're still talking about bounty houses.
Yes.
Insurance.
And we will be.
If I can finish my sentence. Our insurance says that it's possible, but we strongly suggest you don't do it, and there's all these things you have to do if you do it, so we should not do it.
Insurance says no.
So ultimately the insurance says
can we
recommend we do not.
Yes. Did they have anything to say about just like buying additional supplemental insurance? Because that was kind of the discussion at the plant with the parents. It was like, if it's not covered, how might we just buy one day?
If you're going to do this, we need to have like a serious waiver that every single person
they don't stand up in court, and there's no extra insurance. Yeah,
you can't have a bouncy house at the school.
Well, why not? How is this different from a park versus a school?
Because of the live. Sorry, I was always anytime we had an event.
Anytime
we had an event when I was running a school, there was like. That is an absolute no, because there's just like, so kids get hurt so frequently. The amount like for the insurance, right? They're always doing like the risk analysis, right? And for them, the risk of kids getting hurt in a bouncy house is so high that they will not like cover the liability for them is not worth it for them to cover it. So you were in operation, so maybe you know better, but all I ever heard was just like, it's an absolute non-starter just because of the liability issues.
Right, I'm just trying to understand how is a public space exempt.
They're just not insured.
Yeah, they're not insured. They're like if you have a bouncy house for your kid's party
at the park, you're not insured.
Yeah. Like if a family sued you, it actually is like
you'd be out of luck.
You'd be SOL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
Basically they're like, you can do these waivers like if you absolutely insist we'll do it, but like then those waivers don't stand up in court at all. Like our legal would be like, you can do those, and it kind of might keep somebody from trying to sue, but if they decide to do it anyways, the waivers were reliable, and our insurance is very expensive and will go up. It's not worth it.
A strong desire.
Yes, it's definitely a strong desire, but we'll spend the money on doing other fun things.
Okay.
I mean, we have kids get hurt every day without bouncy houses, so it's not really a problem.
I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna go to Pump It Up this weekend and get my Wiggles out.
Little socks.
Exactly.
The is highly dangerous, and that we keep the little like fours and fives off of monkey bars and the climber thing, and like that play structure is not really built for all the kids. So a movement on it. If you could talk about supervising small children off the play structures, that's
good.
Where most of our insurance claims are.
Yeah. We'll do that.
We're going to work today.
Yeah, I love the big film guy. No, thank you for clarifying, because I just see bouncy houses all over the place.
And
I literally have.
It's a roll the dice issue, right?
I have heart palpitations every time I see them.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, I know it's a bummer.
Anything else from the FAC?
No, we will be moving on with our Saturday morning meeting to get more progress on the Boothon. And then going live with the 99 pledges very soon. And then yay. Get it going.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
People pledge for like minutes moved or laps or like full, like, or it's just the like a blanket.
Cool. All right. Let's, sorry, I think you were done.
Oh, there's it.
Okay, cool. Amy, back in
the
middle.
There's the karaoke night.
Oh, there's karaoke night. Yeah, on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Yeah. Karaoke night at Love
That's something I'm really.
I don't know that it is fact.
Is it? That's something fundraising.
That is something that someone else is dealing with. But that's not mine.
Academic.
Yeah.
Oversight. As I shared earlier, half of the content was shared in the head of school, but we spent time as a committee reviewing the independent study policy. Krishna, thanks for providing the ACOE guide. It was very helpful, confusing and
thanks for fucking up that policy so much.
Went to town on the independent study policy. We talked about how fourth grade classrooms are using the IXL map, which is exciting in terms of both putting students in front of content, but also getting live feedback and reviewed regularly, sounds like on a weekly basis, and it's all leading and prepping up to a spec testing. And I think out of LCAP conversation, we talked about one potential area that funding could be spent towards is chronic absenteeism and exploring other areas. But actually, one question on that is, what is our absenteeism?
5%? Down from last year,
but still better than ACOE.
I'm not sure, it might be a little better. It's pretty bad when you follow up and blend students. Okay, it's better than OUSD, but.
Well, were you asking about the county or ACOE? Mm-hmm. Like all the county average or like the schools that the county office operates?
ACOE's.
Yeah, like me, like ACOE operates schools, like they are themselves a district, like they have the opportunity school and that's, or do you mean all the schools in the county?
I guess all the
schools. Got it. Yeah. The county average. Yeah. No. I just was trying to understand, like, yeah, because I would, the county schools are generally alternative schools. And so, yeah. On the, since you said you reviewed the independent study policy, I took a look. We're still sticking with a cap, like a 14-day cap. We're not looking to explore beyond with the live instruction requirements and all that sort of stuff. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Evan and I met for exec and governance. You better time this committee item, see how long this one takes. We talked about his recent board trainings and how much he loved them. He did. They were helpful, he said. We talked about the need to get the board assessment out and the head of school evaluation out, which are out and reminders have been sent. And they shall remain nameless, but there are people in the room who have not yet completed one.
50%, Devin? Can you tell me the percentages?
It tells me exactly who. Okay. It just tells me. It tells me who maybe hasn't started or has started but hasn't finished. Okay, I'm just reminding people to get them done. That's all. Okay. Okay. I wasn't trying to put names to it. Y'all are putting your names on it. That's fine. But that's what we talked about at the committee. We also discussed some policies, which are on tonight's consent, including we reviewed the statement of agreement and the conflict of interest code section 1090 policy. I think we had relatively minor updates on both of those. I don't think we need any have any action to take around officers or committee members, but I will say that I do think our committee should discuss officer roles and a calendar for the board at the May meeting, so that we can bring it to May regular board meeting. And I'm saying this out loud because when I listen back to the recording to help with the minutes, I'll figure this out. but that way the board has a chance to look at all that stuff prior to having to adopt all that stuff in June. So that was the thinking there, that it's time to do that. I think that's it for the committee report.
I will need to move the
exec. Okay, so we'll make a note in these minutes that we're planning on moving that report. We're announcing to the public now that not that report, that committee is going to be moved. Sounds good. Yeah. There's still no members of the public here or on Zoom. Can I go on to the next item? Oakland and California updates. I don't know if other people have stuff to share. I know that in OUSD, well, I'll share one thing. I was at an event last night with Agency by Design Oakland. They support teachers across district-run schools, charter-run schools, private schools. And there have been staff members here in the past who have been affiliated and gone through some of their training. For all I know, some are right now in it. I just am not sure. But they had a really nice event, and I think it's particularly helpful for like a more veteran teacher who's like looking to, practice a new skill or try something new or has a little bit more bandwidth, you know, for a different professional learning community. And I think it's nice because you get to like be with teachers from different schools. Like that's one of the main hallmarks of it. It's not just your same folks. At OUS. Oh, you have done work with them. Yeah. OUSD. Everyone's in the middle of budget season and all that sort of stuff. There's things up on their board agendas and website right now related to like letters that they're receiving from the county regarding their financial statements and budgets looking ahead and whether, and so they're also kind of under pressure around budgets. And they also, I believe, adopted metrics related to a state law that was put in place to make sure that any school closure or merger conversations are done, that these metrics are there to support a more equitable process around those sorts of decisions, is my understanding. And so OUSD did move forward with adopting their own metrics around those things for their own schools. What are they? You know, I'm not actually sure. I have not had a chance to look at the exact details, but they're up in on the board agendas for sure. And I believe they were talking about a process that like schools would start engaging in. They would need to know. I think their hope is they would know, school communities would know if they were going to be impacted directly by this fall so that they could have, you know, time to plan and before the next enrollment season. I mean, obviously every school is impacted because whenever you have these structural changes, it impacts those directly in those buildings, but it impacts neighboring schools as well as people move around and shift. So
that's what happened here. It's like big.
No, that's all I have. I got this.
Does anybody need a form 700? Does everybody?
Anyone? Yep. Anyone want to make a motion to approve the minutes? I'm moving on to.
I motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Amy, for seconding. Evan, how do you vote? Amy, how do you vote? This is Greg. I vote yes. Sarah, how do you vote? All right, the minutes are approved. The next item is the general consent report. I'll just flag everything went through a committee except for the 990, the tax form.
Staff, both on site and finance.
I make a motion to approve the general consent report. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, how do you vote? Oh, you can just call all in favor.
Oh, yeah, all in favor.
All in favor. Aye. Yeah. I kept doing it the old-fashioned way. Yeah, we're all in person. My bad.
Please do that. No, when you're on.
When you're on, when any one person is participating virtually, you have to call the roll. When any board member is participating virtually. Salud. Yeah. New business items. I mean, I'll capture the one around effective monitoring.
Is May going to be like a monster meeting?
May isn't usually as monstrous as June, but only by a smidge, right? There's
we have to do the public hearing.
Public hearing for the LCAP in May. But that isn't so big, actually. It's not much bigger than what I did today. It'll only be a little bigger than that. And
the difference between now and May is there'll be more.
Usually May is the also has a longer closed session for the board to discuss my evaluation.
Right.
That would be the month that you have a drafted memo brought to the board that's finalized there.
Yep.
And oftentimes I just wanted to make a note. I don't have a specific new business item, but like the committees, I think we're doing a good job of like reviewing our policies. And I know like exec picked a few more, and I'll see about finance if there's more that are, but academic keep picking a policy or two to keep reviewing. And if you need suggestions, let me know. Because if we can all do another, you know, couple in May and another couple in June, we'll really have done good review. Yeah. Annual notices. Yeah.
And require real review that really takes maybe more than the month of June. So those ones are the handbooks need to be on our radar much earlier than that. Even though they're high quality, we're always doing stuff. And the toy handbooks easier. Family handbook is more review.
Here we go. Should we move on to our
closed session? Great. We're going into closed session on the public employee performance of the school. No public comment.
There's no public comments, and it's 6:59. I'm going to pause the recording.
All right. It is 7:19. We are coming out of closed session. There are no action items or votes taken, and we are adjourning the meeting.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.